So economists will tell you there are leading indicators and lagging indicators, those numbers which give you a glimpse of a possible economic future for the world, and those that are taking a look at what's gone on in the past. You definitely want to pay attention to which indicator you're following, because if you're looking towards the future, you want the leading indicators, and if you want to know what's happened, you focus on the lagging indicators. Nariman Baravesh joins us. He's chief economist at IHS Global Insight, an international firm specializing in economic forecasting research and analysis. Good morning, Nariman.
Good morning, John.
The reason we asked you here is that in some sense there are nations that are lagging indicators in this recovery or in this recession, and some that are leading indicators. And it looks to me as though Australia, Canada, and Germany are a little bit ahead of the United States in terms of getting out of the recession. Do they have anything to teach us here?
I think there are a few sort of common threads, although there's some unique characteristics to each. I guess one common thread is that none of these countries really had a housing crisis. None of these countries had very high debt levels in the way that we did, and some other countries like the UK did as well. And then on the upswing, many of these countries have also applied a fair amount of fiscal stimulus. In the case of Germany, for example, they have a very interesting program that provides incentives for companies to hang on to workers. So Germany's unemployment rate, for example, didn't rise very much, and it's fallen in the last year or so. So I think there are some lessons, both in terms of what triggered this deep recession and what's bringing these countries out a little faster than the U.S.
Well, Nariman Baravesh, let's talk a little bit about Germany there and that stimulus that you mentioned. Now, we associate stimulus in the United States with huge gobs of money being thrown at shovel-ready projects in the public sector. You're talking about a kind of stimulus in Germany where companies are given incentives to hold on to workers, to not lay off. It sounds like that was much more effective in Germany. Is that something that would translate here to the United States?
It certainly could. I think what's interesting is Germany actually did have a deep recession if you look at it in terms of GDP, but it had a very mild recession in terms of the effect on the unemployment rate. And I think there is a lesson there for the United States in terms of the targeted kinds of fiscal stimulus we can provide. Now, Germany also has had an added advantage, namely, and ironically, because of the crisis in Greece, that has pushed down the value of the euro, made German goods much more competitive, much cheaper, and has given German exports a boost. So in that sense, it's not just because of fiscal policy, but you've got this other thing going on as well.
And the U.S. can't necessarily benefit from a low euro, that's for sure. And in fact, we're in the opposite direction. The dollar is sort of soaring as a flight to quality there. Well, let's talk about Canada and Australia for a moment. I suspect Australia's success may be because of its own strategy, but being close to China doesn't hurt.
Exactly. Australia has benefited, so to speak, by being in the same neighborhood or in the right neighborhood as China. And Australia exports a lot to Asia, but in particular to China. And China has had its voracious appetite for raw materials. And, of course, Australia is a big exporter of raw materials. So that has helped Australia tremendously. But Australia also did some things right. Its banks were fairly well regulated. It didn't have a housing crisis. So put all that together, and Australia, in fact, did not suffer through a recession at all.
Wow.
No.
Well, let's talk about a possible lesson from Australia. If we had been more aggressive in our export policy to China, had done more things right in our relationship with Asia generally, might we have been more insulated from this recession, even given the disadvantages that we have with debt and the housing problems?
In theory, that's certainly correct. The reality is we're such a large economy and so dominated by our domestic market. We're not export-led. I mean, not as much as, say, Australia or some of these other countries. And so in that sense, it would take a long, long time to become as export-led as they are. I know President Obama sort of has that as a goal, but it takes a long time for that to happen.
Let's talk about Canada, then. It's certainly an example when people talk about health care reform in the United States, much to the chagrin of conservatives and probably to the Canadians, who like to point out that they're not perfect up there in Canada regarding health care policy. But as far as economic policy is concerned, what benefits does Canada have that we might learn from?
I think the Canadian story is one in which they were, in effect, a poster child for good banking regulation. Their banks did not suffer the way American U.S. banks did. And from that perspective, they just didn't go through the kind of financial crisis that we did. And that, to me, is probably the single biggest lesson to be learned from the Canadian situation. Good banking regulation prevents the kind of crises that we just went through, which can create such horrific damage.
But it also means that Canada didn't go through the huge boom that the United States did leading up to the subprime mortgage crisis, right?
That's correct. I mean, the Canadians often refer to themselves as being kind of dull, not going through the booms, not going through the busts. But in this situation, that's actually a good thing.
Is there a way politically to orient your economy and your government so that you can remind people in, say, the United States to avoid the boom because the bust is certainly much, much more painful?
Well, I think that's certainly one of the goals of the recent financial re-regulation sort of legislation that is very close to, we think, being passed by Congress. So that's one of the points, is to try to prevent these kinds of boom busts. But clearly, economies should avoid these kinds of financial booms and busts. They do a lot of damage. They're very painful. And it's not a good thing.
All right, so let's try to get a takeaway here. We should point out that Australia is very different from the United States. Canada, much, much smaller. Germany, of course, is involved in the Eurozone, not involved in the U.S. economy quite to the extent that we are. But is the takeaway here be more aggressive in dealing with Asia, come up with innovative sort of stimulus measures like the Germans did, and have the courage to be a little boring like the Canadians in boom times?
Yeah, I mean, to the extent that there are those common themes, it's avoid the booms and busts and apply fiscal stimulus a little more selectively in areas where it has the greatest impact. And also, export-led growth is always a good thing in situations like this.
You speak Australian, Nariman? Nariman Berbish, chief economist at IHS Global Insight, an international firm specializing in economic forecasting, talking about the object lessons of Australia, Canada, and Germany.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.